and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome to our studios here in Georgetown.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually I say hello and welcome, but you get to welcome me because we are on campus at Southwestern. We're going to be talking about happiness, and we're going to kind of tackle two questions here. They're sort of woven together. We're going to talk about, can you teach happiness? I mean, can you teach that in education? And if you can, should you teach it? Should that be something that's taught in school?
This topic came out of, you know, the series that I have, Jennifer, and you will be invited to one of these dinners. But every senior, before he or she graduates at Southwestern University, gets invited to dinner at the president's house, at the president's table. One table, one conversation, 12 students at a time, and then some faculty staff and some visitors. And we have a fun dinner, and then toward the end of the dinner, I will pose a topic for conversation that no one knows in advance.
Oh, they don't know ahead of time.
They can't prepare, and that's it. But everyone has to contribute. I go around the room, make sure everyone contributes. And so a week ago, I brought up this topic of happiness. I've been thinking about happiness, and I thought, should it be part of one's curriculum? Should it be part of one's education? And if so, how do you teach it? How do you assess it? And it was a very thought-provoking conversation. Students brought up issues about whether happiness is a luxury item.
Oh, well, what did they say? I mean, do people have to say?
You know, maybe this is something that is for, you know, certain types of individuals that can afford happiness. And maybe is it something that is, can everyone be happy? And is it depending upon your circumstances? Does it depend upon, you know, where you are socioeconomically in terms of where you are and how you value education? And these were the questions that they were raising.
This is heavy stuff for a light topic of happiness. It's actually a deep topic.
But I think it's more deep, Jennifer, than light, because the truth is I think that we take happiness for granted. And that's why I brought up the topic. The question is, at Southwestern University, for example, we talk about with intentionality, we teach people how to think creatively. And I'm wondering about, should with intentionality in this country, we acknowledge the fact that happiness is something we can aspire to.
So let's take the premise that happiness is something that can be taught. How would you do that? Because happiness, your happiness is different than my happiness, is different from everybody's happiness who's listening. So how do you teach that?
It's interesting. We all have a sense of what happiness is. So I don't know how to define that with intentionality and with preciseness. But let me tell you what one of the students said that I found very thought-provoking in terms of how to get that across to students. The student said, well, you know, when we're little kids and we're in school, so I'm thinking about, you know, first, second, third grade, fifth grade, when we do something right, we're rewarded, right? No, oh, you know, Jennifer, you were so wonderful. You did your arithmetic correctly. Congratulations. Or wow, your spelling is beautiful. Or that drawing is great. What if we did that for happiness? So suppose that you're in a class, you're in second grade, and you have an outburst of joy. You start laughing or you start having fun. Or what if the teacher would come to you and say, Jennifer, congratulations, you're happy.
But you know what usually happens in school is the opposite of that. If a student has either a moment of just sort of unbridled happiness, or say if it were me in second grade and I got a math problem right, which would be a moment of unbridled happiness.
A math question, by the way. There's no problems in math. Thank you.
That's right. Oh, I need to go back and listen to that episode. So I get a math question correct, and I'm so excited I got it right. Oftentimes in classrooms, though, what happens is, Jennifer, quiet down. You guys at the back of the second row, be quiet right back there. You're disrupting.
Wouldn't it be better to say, hey, you folks in the back, congratulations on being so happy? I mean, to me, that could be all we need to have this attitude change in our culture. But the reality is, I think our lives are richer if we are happy. And the idea to enhance that and enforce that in school is something interesting.
For some people, unfortunately, happiness and classroom and learning, never the twain shall meet. School is not an arena or a venue where that word would even come into their minds. It's a chore, it's drudgery, or it's difficult.
Especially in math, right? And in fact, I know of individuals who are mathematicians that will say, well, math is beautiful, but it sings. There's no need to make it interesting or enticing or fun for the students because it should sing on its own. And of course, we know that it does sing if you go deep enough into it. But when you're hitting that first brick wall or the second or third or 25th brick wall in mathematics, it's not singing. It's a torture. So part of our job as educators, and of course we're all educators, but part of our job as formal educators is to think about how to make learning joyful. If learning is joyful, we will continue to want to do it and we'll become lifelong learners. If you think about it, right, we don't do things that are arduous. Oh, I really hate doing my taxes. Let me do it all year long. No, you do taxes on April,
14th.
Exactly. If learning and understanding were a joyful pursuit, it would become a way of living life.
You know what would make me happy?
What's that?
To hear the answer to last week's math hanger. So remind us what that math hanger was.
So the math hanger that we had out there from last week was that you had an antique dealer who bought an item for $7, sold it for $8, bought it back for $9, and sold it for $10. And the question is, how much profit did she make? And just to remind our listeners, you ventured to guess, and I was very proud of you that you threw out an answer right there. You said zero. And then you said you focused in on one word. I think the word was item.
Well, the word I actually focused on was profit.
Zero is a great guess. It's incorrect, but it's a great guess. And it's because you were thinking of the word profit and you're trying to kind of think about it. There are lots of ways of thinking about this. And people will argue about this, but there's some easy ways of thinking about it. One way is just to think about what you bought and what you sold. Think about them as individual items. So if you bought something for $7 and you bought something else for $9, then you spent a total of $16. If you sold something for $8 and you sold something else for $10, then you sold a total of $18. And so if you bought, your total buy was $16, your total sell was $18, the profit is $2.
So you did make a profit.
You made a profit of $2. Another way of seeing this is just to model it. And I've done this in my classroom, and I love it when students do this. They just take out money and start literally enacting it. So start with $15. You buy the thing for $7. That leaves you with $8. Now you sell it for $8. Now you have a total of $16. You sell it for $8. Then you buy it back for $9. That leaves you with a total of $7. And then you sell it for $10. That leaves you with $17. You started with $15, ended with $17, so, $2.
Voila, your profit. I mean, the other thing I thought of is I think you had said it is the same item back and forth, right? Because I thought that was another maybe sneaky thing, was that it was a different item. And
well, you're absolutely right that sometimes when you're thinking about puzzles or just thinking about real world scenarios, we could get distracted by some of the things that are just superfluous. Here, the fact that it's one item versus several items doesn't change the profit difference. Okay. So it's a great point you're bringing up.
And we're going to talk about distractions in learning in a later episode of Higher Ed. So stay right. tuned, because that's coming up in a few weeks.
What if they get distracted and they're not going to stay tuned?
Well, that's our job, to keep people tuned in. And to do that, I want to get back to our discussion about happiness. So let's say that happiness is something that can be brought out in the classroom, that can be taught, that can be experienced. Should we do that? I mean, should we take time in, if you're in college, you're trying to think about a career, you're trying to think about, I got to take my prerequisites. I've got to take, divisions 1, 2, and 3, whatever the case may be. I got to take my humanities, my science, my... Right. Should we take time out of a curriculum or out of a student's time to teach something that some people would say, that sounds squishy, that what kind of job is that going to get me? it's a different kind of topic.
First of all, I want to be clear. I do not know how to teach it. If there were a way, and my thinking would be that it would be something that would happen through the process of learning the material. So it wouldn't be a separate course. It wouldn't be a separate topic. It wouldn't take away from your curriculum. But instead, it would be infused into it as a way of thinking, as a way of living, as part of being a human being. Quite frankly, if we could do that, my own personal opinion is it's important. And in terms of, will it get me a higher salary? Will it get me a better job? The answer is yes. If you are a happier person, you're going to be more productive. You're going to be more successful. You're going to be looking for opportunities. You'll be opportunity focused rather than problem focused. And this is true across the board, especially in higher education. A lot of times we're always looking on the downside of things instead of trying to be joyful and celebrate the things that are going well and look for opportunities to do better, things that can be done better.
This raises so many questions, both for the arena of higher ed and everywhere, though, of sort of just the idea of happiness in general. And what does it mean to be happy? Because, of course, to be able to even have this discussion, you have to sort of know what's happy for you, like what brings up joy for you.
This is what makes this issue so complex. And this is why the students were so insightful in saying that maybe this is something of privilege. What if I'm a human being who isn't capable of being happy? Or how do you define that? How do you know when you're happy? And some people, you know, have clinical depression. And there are these issues. So from that point of view, it really is a question of privilege. And so I don't have the answer to that. I try to be – I'll just speak for myself. It's a very personal thing. I try to put myself in positions to be as happy as possible, professionally, personally, and so forth.
Thanks, Ed, for helping us keep our brains sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And, of course, keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. And by the way, Ed, you know, we've been hearing from podcast listeners who have some topics that they want to hear us talk about. We're going to be addressing those in coming episodes. But if there's something that you would like to hear us tackle in an upcoming episode of Higher Ed, probably the easiest way is just to send me an email. Send it to jstaton@kut.org. jstaton@kut.org. Email me your idea for a podcast episode and we'll tackle that in the future.
Or even a math puzzler.
Yes, an idea for a math puzzler too. Definitely send me anything and we'll get to it in a future episode. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.